Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. This is the reading of God's word. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We ask that you will grant us, all of us, an ear to hear your word. As we hear your word, through your word, let us see what your Son has done and accomplished for us. And through your word, let us have fellowship with him. And Father, as we hear your word, let our faith grow. Let us be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that by your grace, your word will be preached correctly, and that it will be understood by your people correctly. That they will hear, they will understand, and they will believe and obey to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, from verse 15, we have learned that our Lord Jesus Christ is the Creator God, being of the same substance with the Father, equal in power and glory with the Father. He is the firstborn of all creation, thus he has the authority of the firstborn. He possesses all things and he rules over all things. And all things are created for Jesus Christ, for his glory. Now from verse 18, Paul tells us that our Lord Jesus Christ is the firstborn of new creation. He is the Savior Lord. He is the firstborn from the dead. We have already studied this phrase. He is the firstborn of all those who resurrect to the eternal glory. He is the master, the owner, the Lord, and the King and God of all of his people. He possesses them and he rules over them. Now we're going to start looking at verse 18, and we cannot finish this verse today. There's so much to say here, so let us do as much as we are able. Verse 18 says, he is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Our focus will be that first part. He is the head of the body. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 through 23, which he brought about in Christ, when he raised him, God the Father raised him, Jesus, from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The Bible clearly teaches us that Jesus Christ is the head of the body, the church. And remember that only Jesus Christ is the head of the church. That phrase, the head of the church, some church uses that phrase to refer to a mere man. And that is not what the Bible allows. No mere man is the head of the church. Only Jesus Christ. So the phrase, the head of the church, belongs to Jesus Christ and only to Him. And it says that church is His body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. We are one body of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is not that we do our best to accomplish that oneness. But you have to remember that oneness has been already accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity is always like this. See, people misunderstand that it is Jesus Christ who accomplishes all things. But some people say as if we have to accomplish it. Our job is to witness what is already accomplished. Jesus has already accomplished this oneness. Whether you reflect that in your life or not, that's your life. And if you don't, then you're sinning. But see, it's not about you accomplishing it yourself. Now, it is our eternal heavenly reality that has already been accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. One body. See, this phrase, one body. From it, I want you to see how intimate we are to one another. It shows how loving relationship that we have with each other. Being of one body. See, the Bible uses the same imagery describing the intimacy of a husband and a wife. In Genesis, when Adam and Eve, they became one body, it says. Of course, we are not talking about a physical relationship, but a spiritual relationship. But from that phrase, we know how intimate we are to one another. That we are one body in Jesus Christ. And as a one body, we need one another. I mean, think about it. You see some, you know, we'll read that passage later, but the Bible says that some of us are like hand and some of us are like feet. Yeah, we need one another because if we don't have feet, then we cannot stand. If we don't have hands, then there are many things we cannot do. If you're a Christian, you are a part of His body and we need you. You see, we depend upon one another. You see, even if one person is missing, the whole body of Jesus Christ is not perfect. Bible clearly says that we are one body. Christianity is not about oneself. See, the false trinity, I, me, and myself. It's not about wellness of just me. Because it's about one body together. You know, some people, they don't care about other people. And it's all about, you know, here I am. I'm worshiping God and I'm having this relationship with God. That's not Christianity at all. We're saved as a one body. And that is what we need to truly understand. We are called by our Lord Jesus Christ as one body, and in order for us to obey that call properly, I need you and you need me.
Amen.
Let us read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is a bit long, but let us read from verse 12. 12:12. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. And we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would be body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker and weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whether our more presentable members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which is lacked, so that there will be no division in the body, and that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one body suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it.
Amen.
And this is how church is. The church is made up of many people. And we have all these different functions. And you cannot say just because you're not a pastor or elder or that you seem you're not doing anything in this church, you cannot say, I don't belong to this church or belong to the body. See, actually, the most important, you know, part of the body, you cannot really see. See, hands and feet, you could see it. You could see what they're doing. But heart is more important than the hand. And yet, you don't see that. See, like pastor might be like hands. You see what I'm doing in this church. There will be a member of our church that who would in secretly praying for this church or doing all these things that we don't see. But God sees, and we know that heart is more important than hand. See, you could live without hand, but you cannot live without heart. So we do not judge by what we see, because certain things we cannot see. But God honors those members who will do these things that the people do not see. So remember that God has given you that function that only you could do as a part of this body. And if you don't do that, then you're making the body of Christ, I dare say, defect.
Ouch.
I'm not used to this kind of response. Yeah, I actually kind of like it. But thanks. One body. It is like being one person. All of us are one body. Thus, the appearance of many disappear more and more, and the appearance of one person appears more and more. So as we live this life that Jesus Christ called us to live, living as one body, more and more we do that, the appearance of many will disappear. And the only appearance of one person will appear, and that person is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So together, as one body, we should live a life that witness Christ. See, the focus is not on one person, but the focus is on the body of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Being the body of Christ, what does it mean then? And that's the content of my sermon today. What does it mean that we are His body and that He is the head of this body? Genesis chapter 2, verse 22. Let us go there and read it together. Genesis chapter 2, verse 22. Genesis chapter 2, verse 22 says, "The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which He had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man.' For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Looking at this, looking at his wife, Eve, Adam says, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh," meaning that she is my body. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 says that the man is the head of a woman. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30 through 32, "Because we are members of his body, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church." Look at what Paul is doing. Paul is quoting what he finds in Genesis. And there is story of Adam and Eve becoming husband and wife. Well, they're created as a husband and wife, and they join together to become one flesh. But Paul, quoting that and telling us that, but I'm not speaking about Adam and Eve or husband and wife, but I'm speaking of Jesus Christ and the church.
Amen.
What is he saying? The relationship between Jesus Christ and his church is described in terms of the intimate relationship of a husband and a wife. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, "But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him." See, our relationship to Jesus Christ, He is our eternal husband, we are His wife, we're not really becoming one flesh, but we are becoming one spirit.
Amen.
But see, the husband and wife, they're becoming one flesh, this points to the heavenly reality where Jesus and us becoming one spirit. Do you see it then? Genesis chapter 2, the story of the creation of Adam and Eve, even that story points to the story of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ left his father and joined to his wife, the church, and two became one spirit.
Amen. Amen.
The creation story is all about Jesus Christ. G- Jesus Christ is our eternal husband and the church is his forever bride. We must witness this reality through our marriage life here on earth. You see, Christian marriage has a clear purpose. And it's not just about multiplying, but it's about reflecting what is true of Jesus Christ and his church. That is why the husband has to love the wife. And how do you love your wife? Well, you look at Jesus Christ, the true husband. How did he love his wife, the church? With his life, he died for her.
Yes.
Husbands must love their wives the same way. Because that is the purpose. That is what the purpose of that marriage is. And the wife must obey her husband. Obviously now, you know, especially these days, saying this kind of stuff, well, it's not popular at all. But this is what the Bible says. Why? Why must wife obey her husband? Because wife needs to reflect through her life as a wife to show the heavenly reality that our Lord has accomplished. The wife, the true wife, the church, obeys her husband, Jesus Christ. And wife must show that reality by obeying their earthly husband. That's the purpose. I mean, you know, the worldly people will have their own purpose in their marriage. You know, there are so many reasons why they marry. You've got to understand biblical purpose, why you want to marry someone. And it's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To witness Jesus Christ. See, I keep telling you, if it is not Jesus Christ, then it is not Christian. I don't care what it is. Even your motivation, the meaning of whatever that you do, the purpose, if it is not Jesus Christ, then it's not Christian at all. See, Jesus is the head of the church. The church is an assembly of God's people. It is a gathering of his people. And when we say church, we distinguish between the two. One, the visible church, and the other, the invisible church. Visible church is a gathering of people who confess Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, and God. See, Christ and Heaven OPC is a visible church. But the invisible church is the perfect church of heaven. So visible church must reflect the invisible church,
amen,
the reality of that church. We do as best as we could. See, visible church will have a non-Christian, even non-Christian as its member. But that invisible church, Church of Heaven, that's a perfect church.
Amen.
It is our session's prayer that all of our members are also the members of the invisible church in heaven. That's why we make sure that you understand the gospel. That's why there's a membership class. I meet you before you become a member to make sure that you understand the gospel, that you have faith. Because we want you to be not just a member of Christ and Heaven OPC, but that you will be a member of that invisible church.
Amen.
The visible church must witness the reality of that invisible church. The church is not a building. And I was deciding when I was preparing this, how far I should go with this. You know, there's so much to say. I decided to just make it short. But when we say church, biblical church is not a building. And when you say, oh, I'm going to church, and you're referring to a building, then you're not speaking biblically. Because that building is not a church. Church is you. So this building is not a church, but we are gathered here as a church.
Amen.
It's actually wherever we gather, there. Because you're there, that's the church.
Amen.
See, God does not live in a building. He lives in you. He lives in the people. And the believers are the true temple of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? The gathering of the believers who have confessed their faith in Jesus Christ is the church. The people who confess their faith in Jesus Christ, wherever they gather, God's church has been gathered there. It really does not matter where we gather. Wherever we gather, in that place, a church of God has gathered. No matter where we gather here on earth, the true reality is that we have gathered in the heavenly Jerusalem, in the heaven itself. And this is our spiritual reality.
Amen.
Biblically speaking, building a church is not about building a building, but building the body of Christ, the believers. Building a church means through the teaching and the preaching of His Word, we gather His chosen people, and through the teaching and the preaching of His Word, His people who are gathered are growing to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So you have to understand, even Christ and Heaven OPC, right now we are building a church. Even though we're not building any building, but we're truly building a church.
Amen.
Biblically, that's what it means. Really. I don't know. People spend so much money building a building.
Yeah.
You know, when Jesus comes back, it's not that He's going to take that building to heaven. Guaranteed He will not. That building will be destroyed. The money should be used to building a church, the true church.
Yes.
Not just a building. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Now, this points to the relationship that He has with His church. What does it mean that Jesus Christ is the head of the church? Well, first, it means that He is our representative, a covenantal head. He represents all of us who are in the covenant, who belongs to Him. See, the first Adam represented all human beings. But the second Adam, the final Adam, Jesus Christ, He represents all of the elect.
Amen.
All of those chosen people in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So everything that Jesus does, He's doing it as a representative of those who are in the covenant, the new covenant. This is where so many people misunderstand. The first Adam represents all human beings, believers and non-believers, because he was created as the representative of all human beings.
Yes.
But not Jesus Christ. He's representative of the elect, only the chosen. We who are in Jesus Christ are united to Him in all respect. Whatever that He has done all of that as our representative. Thus, whatever He has done is like we have done it ourselves. That's why His death on the cross is our death. His resurrection is our resurrection.
Amen.
When He resurrected, we too were resurrected with Him. The perfect life that He lived, that's our life. Because He lived that perfect life as our representative. That's what it means that Jesus is the head of the church. It also means secondary. Second, it means that He is our husband, because we already saw this. The husband is the head of the wife. Thus, we must obey Him. Thus, the command for the wife to obey her husband. It's not wife is inferior and husband is superior. Oh, believe me, even at my house, that's not true. But it's the voluntary order that our Trinity God, Triune God, has set when it came to the salvation. When it came to saving His people, they voluntarily put an order so that Father is the someone who will plan all things and the Son accomplishes.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit applies all that accomplishment.
Amen.
That's the voluntary order. So Jesus Christ obeyed the Father. And we don't say then Jesus is inferior to the Father. Just because you're obeying someone doesn't mean you're inferior. If that is so, then we have to say Jesus is inferior to the Father because Jesus obeys the Father.
That's right.
Wife obeys the husband. Doesn't mean wife is inferior. It's the order that God has set.
Amen.
The world will tell you, because the sinful world wants to give you, dissatisfied heart. It will give you, make you complain. So that, especially to women, when you hear this kind of stuff, they will say, see, Christianity is all about male chauvinism.
Yeah.
It's not.
No.
Man, I'm not used to this.
I love it.
we usually were very quiet. I'm not saying don't do it or anything,
Rejoice.
But it's voluntarily. Jesus obeying the Father. And all these wives, you need to understand that so that your obedience to your husband should be voluntary. That in terms of you obeying God who commanded you to obey your husband, you do it with joyful heart.
Amen.
And husbands, don't ever think that you are superior to your wives. That's not what it's about. You are to love your wife with your life, because that's how true husband loves true wife.
Yes.
You die for her.
Yes.
So it means that, first, it means that he is the representative of the church. Second, it means that he is the husband, meaning the church needs to obey husband. Third, he is the head and we are his body. And this relationship between head and the body, we'll deal with it next time. So I don't have time to go through everything. And also, Him being the head of the church, it means that he is the master, he is the owner, he is the king of the church.
Amen.
He has all the authority and he rules the church. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church.
Amen.
And the gates of Hades will not overpower it.
Amen.
It clearly says that Jesus says that he will build his church.
Amen.
And this is very important, that Jesus Christ himself builds his own church. Of course, God uses his people in this glorious work of building his church, but Jesus is the one who is building.
Yes.
You know, in some circle, you know, people brag about how many churches they have built. No, they did not build any church. It is only Jesus Christ who builds his church.
That's right.
And yes, Jesus uses people. But you cannot claim that credit for yourself.
No.
And he says, I will build my church. Jesus says, my church. So it is Jesus' church.
That's right.
He's the only owner. Only master.
Yep.
You know, in Korean circles, we hear, oh, it's Pastor Kim's church. No, it's not.
Nope.
It's not my church. No, it's his church.
That's right.
Meaning that we need to do everything according to his word, because it is his church. You see, if it is Pastor Kim's church, then you need to obey me, because it's my church.
No.
But if it is Jesus' church, then you need to obey him. You're not here to obey me. Oh, no, please. If you see anything that I do or anything that I say that is not according to the word, don't just sit there.
Say something.
Yes, not only say something, bring it to the session. Deal with it, because I cannot do that. I don't have ability. I don't have the authority to say anything I want. That is not the authority that God has given me. I could only say that is according to what Jesus said. I don't know. Is it just me? But today's worship sounds so delightful.
Yes,
I like it.
I love it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Babies, you know, involved, and yeah, we're all, don't mind us. I'm not just saying this, but I really rejoice that I could hear baby crying in the worship service. You know, some churches, they will kick them out.
Yeah.
Why? Why would they kick that precious baby out of worship? I don't really get that. You know, and then parents will do their best to calm them down, but we want those babies here with us, worshiping together.
Amen.
Okay. So, Jesus says it's my church. It belongs to him. It does not belong to the pastor or elder. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. See, the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Who are the apostles and prophets? Well, they are the ones who wrote, who God used to write the Word of God.
Amen. Yes.
So the foundation of the true church is that Jesus Christ and his Word. If Christ and Heaven OPC, our church, if our church is a true church, if Jesus Christ is the head of our church, and if Jesus is the master and the owner and the king, then we have to do all things according to the will of Jesus Christ, according to His word.
Amen.
We have no business doing whatever we want in this church.
Nope.
And you do not let that happen.
No.
You bring it to the session. It's your responsibility that we do everything according to this word. The marks of the church. Don't have much time. The word, the sacrament, and the discipline. We must do these things because the Bible commands churches to do. You know, when church does disciplining, people leave. You know, nowadays, rather than they repent of their sins and they obey God, they just go to another church. And another church, they'll gladly receive that person. No. If you want to be a member of this church, we'll find out, you know, where have you come. We need to know that whether you are under discipline in other churches. If that is so, then you need to take care of that before you come. Man, we have to do everything under the authority of Jesus Christ. We don't just do whatever we want. We cannot do that. We cannot call ourselves the true church of Christ if we do not do what He says in His word. Only when we obey His word, then we are able to truly witness that Jesus is ruling over our church. Amen. And if Jesus Christ is our head, and if He rules over our church with His authority, then His church will grow. Not just about the numbers when we say growing, but more importantly, grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That you grow spiritually. See, what is more important to me is that you, all of you, grow spiritually. You be more like Christ than that we grow in numbers. I mean, I would like that too, but if I have to choose, then I would choose you growing to become more like Christ.
Amen.
Rather than having one more person or whatever. And if He is the head of this church, our church will be triumphant. And we will endure. And we will be like Him. And we'll grow to be like Him. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, let us more and more love our Lord Jesus Christ. And let us witness through our lives that He is the head of this church.
Yes.
We must do this. Because He is the head of the body, the church. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You for Jesus Christ, the head of the body, meaning that He is our husband and we must obey Him. That He is the head of the church, meaning that He is our representative. Everything that He has done, You accept all that as if we have done it ourselves. And He is the owner, the master,
yes,
the Lord,
yes,
and the King of this church. Oh Father, let's do everything according to Your will, according to Your word, so that together as church, we will clearly witness to everyone that He is the head of the church, this church. We thank You. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.